So welcome, Pastor Louise.
Buenas noches.
Buenas noches.
¿Cómo están?
Muy bien.
Muy bien. Todos en Cuba. Oh, yeah. Estamos en Cuba. Yeah, everybody speaks Spanish in Cuba, right? Well, you did good when I says buenas noches, because other American says buenas nachos, which is good too, huh? Yeah, they're good. Yes, it is a privilege to be here tonight with my wife Dinora, and we have two daughters and one grandson, and another one is in the oven already. Yes. You will notice very, very soon that my English is not very good yet. I'm still working in that. We came to America with my wife 16 years ago. When we came, well you will say lazy missionary, because we came with zero English, and we're still working in that. I think it's one of the hardest languages in the world. Oh, my goodness, it's so hard. Actually, somebody says that it is a heavenly language. It's because it takes an eternity to learn it. I will say the hardest thing in English is, for me, pronunciation. And if you don't pronounce the words correctly, some words can sound like a bad words. I'm not going to give you examples, of course, but that happened many times with me. And all these slangs that you have, oh man, all the slangs are, my goodness, many of them doesn't have any sense to me. And raining cats and dogs, you see. And I was in Oregon a few months ago preaching a crusade, and I invite a lady to come into the mission trip, and she says, "When pigs flies." And I says, "Ma'am, maybe you need a bigger umbrella." But I'm learning my expressions, and I don't know if I can share all of them with you, because I don't know which one is a good ones and not. But the price to learn a different language, I remember one of my brothers is with the Lord already, but he married to an American lady, and this is why they spoke English all the time home. My nephews, actually, their Spanish is not very good, but their first language is English. And I remember when we moved to America, one of them came to me and says, Uncle Luis, before you go to America, you need to learn a few expressions in English. And I don't trust him very well. And he was a terrible guy. And he started with the good ones. Where is the restroom? He says, "What is that?" Ask my mom. And I did. And she says, sure, it's okay. Actually, you need it. Says, "I'm hungry," and that kind of things. And the last day at the airport, he came and says, Uncle Luis, when you're going to meet a person for the very first time, you're going to say, "How are you, redneck?" And I did. Yeah, I did. And actually, I did with a pastor in Virginia. He's my redneck pastor. But anyway, yeah. You had to be concentrated in my pronunciation tonight, okay? But I will try to do my best. Yes, we are missionaries in Guatemala. And my passion is evangelism. I really love to tell people about Jesus. And we started in the ministry, I will say, together 25 years ago now. But I started before I got married, preaching crusades. I will say right now we are touching every single Spanish-speaking country in the world. And we started a Christian radio program. Right now, last night, they says that 343 radio stations, but right now, actually, we are in 426 radio stations. And I'm preaching three times every single day in the whole year. And our studios are in Florida, and I fly to Florida twice a year, and 3 days I can record 68 messages, and every day, and we cover the whole year and maybe in 3 days, and this is why I can continue flying and doing crusades, and the messages go there. And now we are, praise God, the news this year is that we are in every single Spanish-speaking country in the world. That means South America, Central America, the Caribbean, Mexico, Spain, and the only Spanish-speaking country in Africa, which is Equatorial Guinea. And you know, and praise God, we have 18 churches already, Wesleyan churches in Equatorial Guinea. And we are in 7 radio stations in Equatorial Guinea too. And also, we are getting letters from real Cuba in the Caribbean, which is wonderful. You know, it's against the law to broadcast a program in Cuba. But the Cubans are getting the signal from Costa Rica. In Costa Rica, they have a powerful Christian radio station. The Lighthouse of the Caribbean is the name of the radio station. And they broadcast in shortwave. And some Cubans, they have a shortwave radios with them, which is illegal. If Castro noticed that they have a shortwave radios, they confiscate the radio and put the people in jail for 3 months. But praise God, you have no idea how many letters from Cuba saying, Pastor Luis, thank you for your message today. My husband came to the Lord, my brother came to the Lord, my neighbor, because they invite neighbors to come, and of course, they hide themselves in the room and listen to the radio and the Christian radio program and that kind of thing. And but when you pray for missionaries, when you give and when you go, you have no idea. You say in English the ripple effect, right? And you have no idea sometimes how far God can take the ripple effect and do miracles and do wonderful things and do greater things. Because your prayers and because the message of salvation of people. But in the last few years, we've been concentrated in Guatemala, helping the Guatemalan church to grow, because the Western church in Guatemala is just 10 and a half years old. And before that, we never got a Western church. Actually, I never been in a Western church before in my life until we came here. And because we don't have any Western churches in Guatemala before. And when we moved to Virginia with my wife, we came 16 years ago. And the reason why we came is because they invite us to start Spanish churches in the area. And with God's help, we started 3 of them, 3 Spanish churches. 3 of them are doing great. But my heart is not really behind the pulpit every Sunday. My heart is in the mountains, doing missions, training pastors, bringing mission teams to do the mission thing and for them to show them how does a mission field means, that kind of things, and training missionaries. Praise God, we have one missionary already in Peru. But the churches are doing great. But after that, 10 years ago, we applied to be a missionary full-time with Global Partners, with the Wesleyan Church. Actually, we have the privilege to be the only, in the whole history of the Wesleyan Church, the only Spanish-speaking Latino couple missionaries full-time with the Wesleyan Church. And it is a wonderful thing. And I think it has been the 10 best years in my life, because really, the Wesleyan Church, it is like a family thing. Oh, I feel that thing. We never been so feel like we are ourselves. We always have people praying for us. I don't know if you remember Dr. Don Bray. He used to be the general director of missions. And I remember one day going to Rio, Cuba to preach a crusade. And my phone rings. 3 o'clock in the morning. 3 o'clock in the morning, it scared me. And says, hello. And it was Dr. Bray from Croatia. And says, Pastor Luis, I don't know what time is in your place now, but right here is at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and for me it was 3 o'clock a.m. And it says, but I have in my calendar that you're leaving tomorrow to Cuba to preach a crusade. I just want to call you to pray for you, and that kind of things. When you feel like you have a family around you, that there is very nice. But now, like I says, concentrating in Guatemala more and more. We're doing different ministries in Guatemala, helping those churches. In the very beginning, 10 years ago, we says, okay, how about if we start 20 churches in 20 years? That was our goal, one church per year. Now we are in the 10 and a half year, and we have 16 churches already. That means one and a half every year. Do you know what? I don't want to show up with you, but it's because it's very easy. People is hungry. People, they are hungry. They are just waiting to hear something about, do you know what? God loves you. Jesus can change your life. And when we preach crusades, you have to see many, many people come to the Lord. But it is very easy to start a church in Guatemala. The hard thing to do is to find pastors and the guy who is going to be in charge of that church. And this evening, it is a privilege to have two friends. They drove a couple hours just to meet with me here, Brother Phil Jones and his wife. And Brother Phil has the same spirit, the same love, the same passion for people, and the same thing that he says, Pastor Luis, we can start more churches, but who's going to take care of the churches? And God put in his heart and in my heart to start a training center in Guatemala. And the top of the mountains, if you have the time after service, and maybe later on he can speak for 3 minutes or something like that. But Brother Phil, stand up, please. And give us 3 or 4 minutes about your dream.
I had a meeting one night with Pastor Luis and some of the rest of his board, district superintendent, and I told him, I said, you've got to quit planning churches. And they looked at me as if I'd lost my last marble. And they said, why? I says, because we're planning churches and we have no one to pastor them. We have pastors that are pastoring 2 and 3 churches that are walking hours to get to a church. Our pastors, some of them are the pastor because they're the only person that could read the Bible. They have at most a 6th or 8th grade education. They have no formal leadership training, Bible training, anything like that. So I told him, I says, we've got to do something about training these pastors and making a place where we can train young men that want to go into the ministry. Because this man is gifted evangelist. He's not kidding you that he could start churches if we just let him loose in Guatemala and said, you go start churches, we're going to have pastors for them. He could start 10 churches a year. I have no doubt about that. But what we're doing is we're in the process right now, and we bought land, and we're this summer going to be building on this land to develop this training center for pastors. And I'll be going down for 3 weeks. And there's actually going to be opportunities that if you wanted to join that or be involved in that, talk with me afterwards, and I'll tell you how you can be involved with that, because we're going to be starting to build what in my dream is going to eventually be the Guatemalan Bible College.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. Thank you. And last night, Pastor John promised me, where are you, Pastor John? Oh, good for him. He promised me that he's going to consider to send a team from this church to Guatemala in the future. Yes, 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 yes. And hopefully we are going to have a big team from this church. Please be in touch with Pastor John and be alert to the news, okay? But, and the ministries that we do several ministries. And we use different ways to bring the good news to the people. And socially, in the socially way sometimes, it is working?
Yes.
Okay. And the socially thing, we do the evangelism. And I don't know if we have all the pictures. Actually, this version is the Spanish version. But I'm going to translate for you. So you don't put attention to that picture. Next one, please. Yes. They says construction projects. We build churches, new churches, classrooms. Maybe you understand baños. Restrooms and kitchens. And we paint and repair churches, widow's houses. Later on, you're going to see a widow's houses pictures. And when we got a construction team, we can put together a team and bring the team to Guatemala. With $1,400, we can build a widow's house in 3.5 days. After the Civil War, we have a lot of widows in Guatemala and a lot of orphans. And it is not a house, but for them, it's a mansion. If you understand meters, it is 6 meters. Each meter has 3 feet, 18 feet by 9. 18 by 9, it is a block, 10 roof, one window, one door, and that's it. And we can build it in 3.5 days, $1,400. And we dedicate the house for the widows and the community, and we start building credibility with the community. They says, who are building those houses? And they're the Christians, the missionaries from that church. When we invite them to come to the church, they come because they know that we love the community. And the conference center and all other things. The next one, please. Churches. Like we says, planting churches. That is one of the last churches that we started in the north of Guatemala, Coban. And these people that you've seen there, and there is a crew from the First Wesleyan Church in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. They came, and they send the money in advance. We put the foundation, and they start working at 7 o'clock a.m. on Monday morning, and that was the dedication. They started on Monday morning, Monday, 7 o'clock, and we dedicate that church on Thursday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Everything that you see there. With $14,000, we built everything. Actually, they built some benches and things inside the church. The next one, please. And another church. And that is a special church for me. The same crew from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, came. And that is in Santa Clara. And why it is a special church for me is because that is the third sanctuary for that church, the third one. Because in the first one, Pastor Diego called me. When we started that church with my wife and my staff, that was 11 years ago, 10 and a half years ago. And a few months later, Pastor Diego called me and says, Pastor Luis, we have a problem here. So what is going on, Pastor Diego? He says, no more room for more people. I love that problem. Says, good. And we built a bigger church, and then same thing. Pastor Luis, same problem. We don't have more room for more people. Okay, and this is the third one. And same thing. They came and they start working at 7 p.m. on Monday, and we dedicate on Thursday, 7 p.m. We have a big service with maybe 300 people in it. But guess what? They invited me to preach in the 11th. Anniversary of the congregation, not of the building, because we built a building just 6 months ago, maybe 7. She says maybe 9 months ago. But in the 11th anniversary, same thing. He says, Pastor Luis, we need a bigger sanctuary now, which is great. Wonderful problem. And next one, please. Paña Bar. Oh, this is Brother Phil's baby. he brought He brought up his crew from his church to build that church. And in this case, it was a different thing because everything was by concrete. And same thing. They send the money in advance. We put the foundation. And 3.5 days, Brother Phil? 3.5 days, the thing in Pena Bar. It's a wonderful story. We don't have a time to share, but that is the final product. See? When we got the dedication, how many people? 500?
300, 400.
300, 400 people? Well, I will say 300 or 400 inside the church. But outside, maybe another 300. And they put speakers for everybody outside to listen. And that was the final product thing. And very nice dedication. Many good feelings. The next one, please.
29 adults accepted the Lord the night of the dedication.
Yes. And they gave him the copies of the keys of the church, and he had the copies in his office. Okay, more projects: church building churches, painting churches, fixing, and this is a building a widow's house, and that is a kind of funny picture. Because and are you left? You can see the Guatemalans trying to see how big is the gringo. Oh, those gringos are very tall. See? And you see? Oh, my goodness. He's a giant. Yeah. But the widow's house is the same thing. Sometimes, church, you can't go. But many people says, Pastor Luis, I can go. But do you know what, Pastor Luis? I really want to give you money for one house, for two houses. But you please go with your team and build a house for us. And many people do that. For example, in El Morro, Brother Phil has been in El Morro. El Morro is another village in the east of the country. And this is southwest. In El Morro, they have no water. But later on, I'm going to share the story about El Morro. But this one is the promised land. That is another piece of land that the Lord gave us beside the water and the lake. It's National Geographic says it's one of the 10 most beautiful lakes in the world. And you can't see the lake, but behind the house, you can see a little bit of the lake. It's crystal clear water, beautiful. 3 volcanoes beside the lake, 12 villages. Each village has the name of the disciples of Jesus. And in each village, they speak different languages. And when I take teams right now to that place. And we are building a place for us to put the teams. And the bottom of the lake, well, of the valley, we have 5 churches now. And this is the same concept and different land, training center right there is going to have a clinics. We have already a couple of doctors from Pennsylvania. They are going to retire. And they says, Pastor Luis, can we come to Guatemala for 6 months and stay in the promised land? No for vacations. We want to do clinics every single day for free to the community. And we have a nurse already, and this nurse says, I can come for 6 weeks, a year, and my dream is to have every single day in the year open clinics for everybody who wants to come for free to see the doctor. But that is the promised land. Different projects. Pies Felices means happy feet. I shared last night a little bit about happy feet. I'm not talking about those little penguins. But Happy Feet means that we collect a lot of shoes in the churches, and because the airlines allowed us 2 carry-ons, well, when I say 2 carry-ons, can be you carry-on plus your backpack, and I told my teams, how about if you use the carry-on and the backpack to put a couple pairs of blue jeans, 2 pairs of shoes, underwear. Too much information, but anyway, t-shirts and that kind of things, and you can use your 2 suitcases to check in with shoes. Last year, we delivered 49,000 pair of shoes in the mountains. And there are no new shoes. No. How many shoes do you have in your closet that you don't choose anymore? We can clean our closet and bring all the shoes to here. And it's because this church is going to Guatemala, how about if you start collecting shoes? You see? Start collecting shoes. For example, a lady, I don't know, from Michigan, I think, she just called Walmart. And she said, can I talk with the manager? And he says, may I help you? Yeah, well, do you know what? I'm going to Guatemala on a mission trip to do Happy Feet. And she told the story and blah, 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 blah. Just in case, do you have some leftovers in Walmart that you're not going to use anymore? Maybe I can use in Guatemala. And he says, call me tomorrow. I think I have a good news for you. And next day, she called again. And he says, do you have a big truck? I have 200 pair of shoes for you. Yes, for free. And we got those new, but you see, Happy Feet is beautiful. The ladies bring those baby wipes, and they wash the children's feet, and we provide shoes for them. It is beautiful, beautiful, beautiful event. Everybody crying. You can see the big faces and big smiles on the faces of the children. And the second one says pastor seminars, pastors and leaders seminars. We teach pastors and seminars every month, once a month. But this coming August, we are going to have a big, big event. Actually, I don't want to take advantage of you, but I will. and the good way, please pray in the fourth week of August. Actually, 22nd to the 25th, right? We are going to, because they don't have the money to come, my job is to knock doors and your hearts to help me. We are praying that the Lord can provide $3,800 to bring 125 pastors to the seminar for free. They're coming for free because they don't have the money to pay. We are going to provide hotel for them. We are going to provide hotel, three meals. The seminar will be for 3 days. And we are going to provide a nice, I don't know how you say in English, I will say in a small portfolio, a small briefcase, a small one, very simple, with a study Bible in it and all the materials for the seminary. And it is going to be double blessing for them. I'm pretty sure 90% of them never, ever been in a hotel before in their lives. And we really want for them and their wives to be in a hotel for 3 nights and good meals, but also good pastor seminars. And we have a Dr. Wilson coming to teach. We have a Dr. Wilson. No, Norman. Norman Wilson. Norman Wilson. We have Pastor Mike Hilson from New Life Wesleyan Church come. And we have Jarvis Ferguson, which is the Latin American director of the Wesleyan Church. And we have Don Jones, Brother Phil's son, who's coming to teach. And we are who else? Well, we have good people, good speakers coming. And please pray. Like I says, yes, I am asking you to pray and to give. Also, we need $3,800 for that seminar. Please pray about that. The Lord provide everything to bring these 125 pastors for 3 days for the seminar. But also, VBSs. Oh, my goodness. You have to see at least one time VBS in Guatemala. We have in Guatemala City... In Guatemala, in the country of Guatemala, the school is different than in America. We start school January 15 through October 15. That means that vacation time for students starts October 15, November, December, and they go back to school January 15 again. The summer for you is a school for us. You see? But we can have BVS any time in the year because they attend the school from 7 a.m., through 1 p.m. and any time. But the real VBS in November, because it's this vacation time, oh my goodness, it's exciting. In Guatemala City, can we go to the next one? Maybe I have a picture. Well, that is Happy Feet pictures, okay? You see that lady from New Life Wesleyan doing the happy feet thing? And go to the next one, please. Oh, my goodness. That is my favorite. But that is the VBS thing. One of the national newspapers in Guatemala declared that our VBS in Guatemala City is the largest VBS in Latin America. Last year, we finished with 1,476 kids from Monday to Friday. And you have to be there and listen when they are singing together. Oh, my goodness. It's like, it's beautiful. And we need a lot of help. If you want to come in November to help us, some people come for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, because we have a 5 weeks of VBS. Yes, the first week is in Guatemala City. This year, we are expecting 1,500. But do you know what? It is great, because we, in the good way, again, we take advantage of everything to tell people about Jesus. We notice that many moms come every day to bring the little ones to the VBS, and they stay there just watching the clowns, watching the puppets, watching everything. And I talk with my wife and the other people in my staff and says, how about if we take advantage of this? See how many moms doing nothing here? How about if we start ladies' ministries the same week simultaneously? 1,500 kids, how about with ladies? Last year, we had 248 ladies every day. Ladies, you can come. Even though you don't speak the language, we have a good translators. You can come and teach them basic things. And we've been talking today about what kind of things we can teach them. Last year, a group of ladies from Birmingham, Alabama came just to share their testimonies with them and to teach them how to be a good believer through the crisis. For example, I don't know in America, but in Latin America, we have a lot of domestic abuse. Husbands, stupid husbands. Yeah, they're stupid. Because the Bible says wives, they're a gift for us. And they treat their wives like a dogs. They kick them. But they came, these ladies from Birmingham came with their own testimonies. And they says, I've been abused too. But you know what? Jesus, I gave my heart to the Lord, and he changed my life, and that kind of things. The same, do you know what? The same problems that you have in America, we have in Guatemala. But the good news is the same God that is with you is with us in Guatemala too. This little boy, oh my goodness, makes me cry. This little boy lives in the highest point of the Pan American Road in Guatemala. I don't know how many meters. But it's very cold. And in December, November, we can get 25 degrees, 20 degrees, and there is no heat. Not at all. And you can see their skin full of cracks because of the cold. And he has a sweatshirt, an old one with holes in it. But many of them, no sweatshirts at all. No, none. Just may sometimes a thin shirt, and all the time, because the cold. But we came. We have a church already there in that mountains. And we had a VVS. An American guy from New Life, actually Chris Wagner, was sharing the Bible story. When he made the invitation, says, how many of you wants to invite your friend Jesus Christ to be your Savior? This little one ran. And he just, in his needs, says, I want to accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I think this is the trophies. That is better than gold and silver. And I think this is the answer of that verse. Greater things. One day, we are going to see that guy again. And who knows if he's going to come to Chris Wagner and to New Life people, says, thank you for coming to my village. Because you guys, I am here in heaven today. Yeah, that is the real thing. Some people says, I am not going to your VVS because your VVS is a big babysitter. And I says, and maybe in your church, but not in my church. In my church, we use every single thing, sports, puppets, whatever, mimes, just to tell people about Jesus. We use every single thing to tell them that there is hope in Jesus Christ. The next one, please. See, more the clowns. She is a lady from Maryland, New Life Wesleyan. And the bottom is the church that I told you before, Zacapa. You notice there is no floor, just dirt. We have walls. We have roof. That's it. And benches. And one day, when the Lord provides, we are going to put the floor. It is not priority for us. Do you know what? Actually, in Guatemala, they don't know what those comfort zone means. That is secondary for them. And in America, it's a big issue, right? The comfort zone thing. But in Guatemala, if they have a roof and they have a place to worship, they're happy. Sometimes they have nothing, and they're happy. But that church is very special because after this VBS, I remember well, I got a construction team. And we were building Sunday school classes. And somebody says, Pastor Luis, you have to go to St. Nicholas. You have to go to St. Nicholas. I says, what is St. Nicholas? It's a village 6-7 miles away from here. But you have to go just for four-wheel drive. It's very sandy and like a washer machine thing, you know. And, well, finally says, okay, let's go. And I took three more Americans with me. And Pastor John and another Americans says, let's go to St. Nicholas. And everybody ride in the back of the truck. Says, we were in the back of the truck, like monkeys. There. But we got to St. Nicholas, first village in my life and ever seen in Guatemala. I seen those villages in Africa and India, but never in Guatemala. None. Zero believers. None at church. None. And we walk through the village, and we pray, and coming back, and because no transportation, no nothing, a family asked us for a ride. It was a mama and daddy and two little boys, and they say, sure, sure. And they jump in the back of the truck, and the little boy look at me and says, I know you. I says, from where? He says, you was here in Zacapa for the VVS with the gringos 2 weeks ago. And he said, yeah, that's right. And I told Pastor John, he recognized my face, and he said that he was in the VVS. And Pastor John says, ask him, how did he come to the VVS? And I says, how did you come to the VVS? And he says, my little brothers, my sisters, and my friends in the neighborhood, we heard that you have some Americans with puppets, and we walk 3 hours one way. Every day. 6 hours. Just to come to hear about Jesus. You know, some people says, Pastor Luis, I can't go because I don't speak the language. Who told you? Then you have to speak the language to share Jesus with other people. Through any bookstore right now, internet, you can find those Bible stories in Spanish and DVD and CDs. And you have puppets and you play the CD and you move your hands and people come to the Lord. See, you don't have to speak the language. But that is the VVS. VVS for us is a big, big event because many, many children, and I have the proofs. I remember starting VVS many years ago in the church in Guatemala City. Now, those little ones who came to the Lord in the VVS, now they are leaders in the church. Actually, one of them wants to study to be a pastor. And I remember them. Sometimes we don't believe in those children's decisions. Please, come on. We have to believe. I gave my heart when I was 8 years old. And my mom believed in my decision. And my daddy too. And this is why I'm here today. That was the best day in my entire life when I gave my heart to the Lord. The next one, please. Medical teams. This evening, we were talking about the medical teams. Yes, we do a lot of medical teams. The next one, doctors from Guatemala, doctors from the States, and 3.5 days, we saw more than 700 people. We help a lot of people with medicine. Some people, even they don't have the money to buy a Tylenol for the headache, and they're dying. And after Tylenol, they says, do you have more of those miracle pills? That kind of things. But a wonderful opportunity to tell them about the Lord. The next one, crusades. Like I said, is one of my passions. That is the crusade that I told you last night in Managua, Nicaragua. Managua, Nicaragua. Nicaragua is the only country in the world that they have in their constitution the day of the Bible. And they close everything. They close schools. They close government offices. They close everything because it's the day of the Bible. And all the evangelical churches, they have a big parade. And they got together in Revolution Plaza. And every year, they invite a different speaker. And that year, invite me. And we had like 35,000 people in that crusade. And many, many, many of them came to the Lord. The next one, please. More crusades and different... for example, that picture in the bottom. It is a very interesting picture because that is the largest team that I ever had in my life in Guatemala. 164 Americans in 1 week. Yes. But before that trip, we coordinate that crusade. And we send to all the churches who came to Guatemala the tracks, the soundtracks of the old hymns. I love the old hymns. At the cross. Oh, what a friend I got in Jesus. Oh, beautiful music. And we sang. And Tony, my son-in-law, he put together all the voices. And, of course, we sent the words in Spanish to the churches. And the Americans, the gringos, they sang in Spanish. And the crusade. We got 85 voices in the choir. And it was good. I think we rented a gymnasium or something like that for the crusade. The next one, please. They are our pastors in Guatemala. And all the pastors that we have already. And the back of the picture is Jarvis Ferguson, our Latin American director. And all our pastors there. The next one, please. Relief. Last year, we got a terrible year in Guatemala. We had two or three hurricanes and hit Guatemala and destroyed many, many houses. But also the very same day that one of the hurricanes hit Guatemala, one of the volcanoes exploded and killed many, many people and destroyed many homes. And until today, in many villages, they have nothing to eat. And until today, people are sending money to bring food to the villages. And that is very recently. We put all the food in the churches and make bags and put in the trucks and go to the villages to bring some help to the people. Next one, please. That's it? Thank you very much. But I can finish this without sharing God's word with you. Can you still give me 10, 12 more minutes? It is a wonderful story in the Old Testament. The second book of Kings, chapter 6. And I love to tell stories rather than read because it is hard for me to read English. But this story tells us about this king, very bad boy. And he got together all his army. And he says, okay, guys, we are going to attack Samaria. We are going to kill them. We are going to take the city. But we are going to use a different... It's a hard word to say for me in English. It's tragedy. Thank you. It took me 3 years to learn how to say Deuteronomy. But anyway, that is good that we are in 2 Kings. Yeah, no, the Deuteronomy. But anyway, this guy took all his army. He says, let's go and attack Samaria. And he says, this tragedy, we are not going to use any weapons. We are going to kill them by hunger. And the way, guys, if you remember, well, all those cities were surrounded by big walls. And he says, guys, just be around the city and sit down and relax. If somebody tried to come in into the city, just kill him. Somebody tried to come out from the city, just kill him. But the food that they have, they're going to finish the food in a few days, 3 or 4 days, because no fridge, no ice, no preserves. And they are going to die by hunger very soon. Just wait and relax. And they came, the army came, and they sit down around the city, ready and watching. And a few days later, they notice that people start dying because nothing to eat. Listen. Chapter 6 of 2 Kings, verse 24. Sometimes later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, mobilized his entire army and marched up and laid side to Samaria. There was a great famine in the city. The side lasted so long that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels of silver. My question is, why did they want the donkey's head? To eat? But listen. And a quarter of a dove's dung for 5 shekels of silver. Why did they want the dove's dung? To eat? It would be an insult for me to ask you, have you ever had a dung? Dove's dung for supper? We have a wonderful dinner tonight. But if you've never been in overseas, maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. But there is people like this dying because they have nothing to eat. Just eating leaves from the trees. That kind of things. But listen. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman cried to him and says, help, help my lord, help me my lord. And the king replied, how I can help you? And she answered, this woman, talking about her neighbor, she answered, this woman said to me, give up your son, so we may eat him today. And tomorrow, we can eat my son. And the story says, we ate my son that day. We boiled him. We ate him. But now, he has hidden his son. And that is my problem, because we have no more food to eat. The story is too long. You can read it when you get home. But the last part of the story is in chapter 7. And chapter 7 says that there were 4 guys with leprosy from Samaria. And they were out because of their leprosy. And every day, their relatives, their families, came out with baskets of food for them. But because the enemies around the city, no more food for these 4 guys. And these guys says to each other, this is what the Bible says, guys, we are good. What are we doing here? If we stay here, we are going to die because no more food. If we try to get into the city, we are going to die because no food in the city. If we are going to the enemy's camp, oh, maybe there's a small chance. They can forgive us, they can give us food, or they can kill us. let's do this whole thing. And they decided to go to the enemy's camp. This is what the story says. And they start walking. When they were walking to the enemy's camp, a miracle happened. Do you believe in miracles?
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Do you really believe in miracles? Oh, yeah. And the miracle was God sent from heaven noises to the enemy camps. And those noises were like a big army, horses, and many, many, many soldiers. And the enemy says, hey, guys, listen. All the kings got together, and they're coming to kill us. Let's disappear from here. And they run away, and they left behind everything, the camp. When the four guys with leprosy got in the camp, nobody were there. And they opened one of the tents and says, oh, my goodness, there is food in here. And they jump in the tent, and they start eating, and they ate, and they ate, and they got, the Bible says, they opened four holes in the ground, and they hide gold, silver, and they drank wine, and they ate, and they drank wine, and they ate, and then they jump in the second tent, and more food, and more wine, and more gold, and more silver, and the Bible said they jump in three tents. And the third one, when they got in full, because they were so hungry, listen, this is the verse that I want to leave with you. Then they say to each other, guys, we are not doing right. This is a day of good news. And if we are keeping it to ourselves, if we wait until tomorrow, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once right now and give the good news to the people. Church, with all my respect to you, sometimes as a believers, we are like the guys with leprosy. Because we come every Sunday morning to the church. And Pastor John prepares a good sermons. And we come every Wednesday. I don't know when you have services. And you come every Saturday, wherever service is. And many, many times, you will know that I am telling the truth. Many, many times when you leave this building, ready to get your car, or when you got in your car, you look at each other and says, it was a good service today. That happened with you too sometimes? Why? Because you're full spiritually. And you go to your house very happy. And then you can come back Wednesday. And again, it was a good service again. And then you can come back Sunday. And again, it was a good service today. But how about the people around you? They are eating dung, drugs, alcohol, sex, pornography. And do you know what, church? If we want to see something greater, we have to say like this for guys. Church, we are not doing right. Today is a good day of salvation. Just let's go and tell the people God love you. Jesus can change your life. We're preaching in Guatemala City in a new church today. With my wife's permission, I'm going to share this story. Her brother-in-law, oh my goodness, bad boy is still a good compliment for him. He was worse than bad boy. Many times he came home and took his gun. And I asked his three daughters, lie down, and his wife, and put the pistol in their mouth. I really want to kill you. And he laughed. Oh, it doesn't work. This time is going to work. Open your mouth. That kind of things. Yeah. And many other things that I can share with you. Three or four months later, ago, she invited him to come. And he gave his heart to the Lord. As a new creation. But do you know what, church? It's not the pastor who's going to change the city. The song that we sang just a few minutes ago, he is the Lord of the city. But who is going to tell them about that? You. Sheep multiply among sheep. The pastor just feed the sheep to make stronger sheep and to go. Church, if we really want to see greater things, let's go at once and give the good news to the lost. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your love to us. Because 2,000 years ago, you sent the first missionary with the good news. And because of him, we are here today. Help us to be missionaries right here where we live and tell our neighbors, our friends in school, in the office, wherever we are, that yes, there is hope in Jesus Christ. That yes, there is salvation. Thank you for this church and help us to bring the good news to others. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.